Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Issues. Welcome to Route 51, regional talk radio for North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Mobert. Today on Route 51, we have an in-depth discussion of one of the thorniest and emotional environmental issues facing North Central Wisconsin. This spring, as the ice melted on the Big Old Plain Reservoir near Mosinee, thousands of fish, dead fish, washed up on the shoreline, leaving waterfront homeowners with a big mess on their hands and recreational businesses wondering about their future. According to initial estimates by the Department of Natural Resources, up to 75% of the fish in the reservoir may have died during the winter months. The victims of poor water quality and a lack of oxygen caused by low water levels, years of drought, agricultural runoff, and a poorly functioning aerator. Now, there are no easy answers for the Big Old Plain, but today on Route 51 we have the people who are searching for them. Tim Garrigan is a homeowner who is president of BEPCO, the Big Old Plain Citizens Organization, a grassroots coalition that also includes local business people. Also in our studio, Dave Kuhn, the director of environmental concerns for Wisconsin Valley Improvement, the organization that helps to control water levels on the Old Plain and the Wisconsin River system through a series of dams. And Ed Hammer, planning director for Marathon County, which owns some property and a campground on the Big Old Plain. Finally, joining us for the first part of the program, Tom Moronic, a fish biologist for the Department of Natural Resources. This is a complicated and controversial topic. I'm sure you've got opinions. We want to hear them. Give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 or toll-free 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are open. Tim Garrigan, let's start with you. Tell us about this organization, BEPCO, the Big Old Plain Citizens Organization. How many homeowners and how many business people do you have, and what are you trying to do?
Well, first off, thank you, Glenn. We have about 300-plus homeowners that live on the Old Plain. We have about 250 people that have joined BEPCO. I'd say we have about 40 businesses, and we've got together. The group started in the 80s, but they kind of disbanded for a little while. They got back together about
3 months ago, and we started to see if what we could do about water levels, and lo and behold, then came the fish kill.
And how many business people do you have in your organization?
About 40.
What's their attitude with all of this?
Well, most of them came from realtors. We got REMAX and a lot of the bars that are on the Old Plain that lost a lot of a lot of business. We had 14 boats that were out on opening fishing. We used to have 14 boats right in front of my house.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of impacted everybody a little bit, and so I'm kind of here today to help fight for the fish.
Now, you've got thousands of dead fish that have washed up on the shoreline.
That's correct.
Are they still there?
I don't know what happens to them, but I go down to visit once in a while, and some of them must sink. I know the seems like the eagles like to eat the carp. They get eaten up pretty good. I live upstream from the fish kill. So the people that live down by the Moon Dam or possibly down by in the town of Bergen, they got the brunt of it. They all kind of floated down there. So where they go, they do. They disappear. It's not half as bad as it was.
But the homeowners have to clean all of this up, right?
If they want to, I wouldn't. I tried to pick up a fish, and it just kind of blows away in your hand. Yep. I don't know what you would do it with. You couldn't do it with a pitchfork.
Oh, it seems like it would be a tremendous health problem.
Well, yeah, and the smell hasn't really gotten there yet. We haven't had real warm days. I'm assuming it's going to smell, but it's not a pretty sight.
Well, those warm days are ahead. Ed Hammer, Marathon County operates a campground. You own some property on the Big Old Plain. What are your concerns?
Well, certainly we're concerned about the impact of the residents, concerned about the property, although that's not our biggest concern. Our concern is about the entire watershed, which is about 360 square miles that is north and west of the reservoir. Our sense is that the fish kill is a symptom of poor water quality, and I think that's more our concern. addressing the really difficult balance between all the different land uses.
And it's a complicated situation, too.
Incredibly complicated, yes.
Dave Kuhn, give us an idea about the role Wisconsin Valley Improvement plays in regulating the water level of the reservoir. You do operate that dam.
Yes. Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company is licensed by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. We were chartered by the state legislature in 1907 to operate a series of dams on the Wisconsin River, the upper Wisconsin River, to help control and regulate a more uniform flow in the river. And that's what our charter was. The Eau Plaine Reservoir is one of 21 reservoirs that we operate that have a dam on them. And those are operated as a system in helping to regulate uniform flow on the Wisconsin River.
Well, we'll get into some of the questions about whether or not you could possibly put more water in the Eau Plaine than is in there. I know that's what a lot of the homeowners are requesting.
Right.
Right now I want to turn to Tom Moronic, the fish biologist from the Department of Natural Resources. And, Tom, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
You're welcome.
You issued a news release on March 18th predicting a sizable fish kill on the Eau Plaine, and you were later quoted as saying that 70 to 80% of the hundreds of thousands of fish in the reservoir had been killed. Do you still stand by those estimates?
Well, first of all, let me start by saying that originally I was quoted as saying about 70% died, but I think I also said, and I don't think it ever made the papers, that I felt like probably about 70% of the fish died that had stayed up in the reservoir itself, because a lot of fish had probably already moved upstream to where there was better water. So really, you know, I felt like, you know, in early February is when we first started to see the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed around the aeration system, you know, there were fish, and it had warmed up a little bit, and we could see that there were fish dying. And so at that time, I estimated probably about, walking along the border of where the aeration system was, I estimated probably about two-thirds of the fish there were dying and about a third of them were alive. So that's kind of where I came up with roughly about 70% of what had remained in the reservoir was dying. And I felt pretty confident that that was about accurate.
Anything happen in the intervening weeks to change your mind?
Not really, because... you know, things really continued to digress. We did have, you know, the one bright spot, I guess, during that time frame was that we had a warm-up, and we had, I'm not sure if we had rain, but we did have some runoff event. I think we had a little bit of rain, and it was small enough where it actually created a little bit of runoff that was actually beneficial, because we did see, I believe, and Dave can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we saw some good oxygen levels spike up for at least a short period of time. And I believe that short period of time, probably in about late February, after we initially noticed the kill, I think that short period of time actually allowed a lot of the fish that were down by the aeration system, the game fish, to maybe find their way upstream to where there was better water. They kind of followed their way. You know, there's a little bit of flow, which fish are going to attract to, of course,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more flow than normal. So they're going to follow that flow, and at the same time, the oxygen was a little better.
Dave, do you think that's accurate?
Yes, I agree with Tom.
I definitely believe that helped us, and that probably saved a few fish at that time and helped get fish out of there. But, no, really,
Tim Garrigan, you've got some concerns here?
Well, first, Tom and I and Dave, we got together in January, and they knew there was less than 5 or 3 parts per million of oxygen. They knew this fish kill was coming. I talked to ice fishermen they couldn't put them. The reason why they weren't down there ice fishing is their minnow would die within 10 seconds of trying to fish. And then, Tom, to say that the fish were going to swim upstream, what we're saying, if there were a little more water in there, they'd have a fighting chance to get upstream. There was no way they were going to make it up to Halder Bridge, which, unless you live around here, you'll know exactly where I'm talking about. But there's a difference between 2 years ago when we were down 10 feet, and again, Dave can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know what we were at 2 years ago versus this last year, which all I know was 16.8 feet. We had a major fish kill at 16.8. We had a minor fish kill at, I believe it was 10 feet. So somewhere between that amount of feet, I don't think, and again, I'm not an expert on this, but I don't think the fish had a chance to go as far upstream as you're saying, Tom.
Tom, no, I guess what do you think? You can't be 100% certain. Obviously, we didn't have transmitters on the fish. But historically, you know, we know there's flow. Even at low flow, you know, it's hard to tell. You know, it doesn't look like there's any water out there under the ice. But, you know, the flow, there's flow moving through the reservoir. That means there's water coming from somewhere. And, you know, all I'm saying is the fish probably, if there was a little bit of water under the ice, you know, they may have been able to move out of that area, you know, to some extent.
But Tom, you were saying that you thought 70 to 80% of the fish were killed. How long is it going to take for the fish population to replenish in the Eau Plaine?
Well, what we're looking at right now, based on some of the survey work that we've done, we did do one night of electrofishing at one of our transects that is a historical transect. So we had at least a couple of years of good data from that site. So we know about what we should catch at that site. And so our catch at that site was about two-thirds down. So normally, walleye on a transect like that, which is about 2 miles long, our catch rate would be something around 225 fish per hour, which is how we basically calculate our catch, is number of fish we catch per hour. And on the transect that we ran this past spring, it was around 85 fish or walleye per hour, pretty much. So, you know, that puts us about two-thirds down. It still gives us a pretty good catch rate if you compare mm-hmm. it to some of the other lakes in the area. And I guess my attitude right now, and maybe some don't agree with me, but my attitude right now is let's wait and see what happens with these fish. We know they're going to spawn. They're probably going to be successful. You know, we know they're going to have good growth rates because there's a lot fewer of them out there. Let's face it, when there's a lot fewer fish, they grow a lot faster. We saw a good base of crappies. We know there's going to be forage fish out there. So that's kind of my attitude. Let's wait and see what happens with this population.
Would it even make sense to restock the Eau Plaine with the water quality problems and the, you know, the continuing problems with low water levels?
Well,
you might be restocking fish and they're just going to die all over again.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but historically, if we look at the long term on this, Glenn, we see that, you know, there's always going to be a fish population in the Big Eau Plaine Reservoir. Whether we stock it or not, it's going to come back. And so, you know, stocking is not part of the plan right now because I'd much rather wait and see and, you know, maybe do a fingerling survey in the fall and see what kind of reproduction we've had. You know, so fishery has always been a part of it, and it's always going to be a part of the Big Eau Plaine Reservoir. But to go back to your initial question, you know, I really think that, you know, if we see good walleye growth out there, we could see a fishery start to develop, you know, somewhat of a decent fishery start to develop in somewhere between 3 to 5 years out there.
Tom, what did the fish look like when you shocked them and looked at them? They look healthy?
They actually look pretty healthy. They really did. You know, I didn't see any, you know, sometimes you'll see lesions or things like that, you know, look like where it looks like maybe they had been under a lot of stress, you know, fungus and things like that on their fins. I really didn't see any of that. It looked like, you know, they were healthy. And as you said, Tim, there are a lot of, you know, there's a lot of dead carcasses out there. And so, you know, you think if, you know, if there's going to be a disease problem or a fungus problem, it would occur, you know, stem from those dead carcasses and things out there. But you know, we didn't see anything really of concern. Well, most of the fish look pretty healthy.
We've seen photos, and the photos, Tim, that you have on your website, it's just disgusting. I mean, there are hundreds, thousands of dead fish on the shoreline, and basically you homeowners have been told that you've got to clean all of this up yourselves. Is that not true?
Yeah, it was true, and we're supposed to double bag them, but
and you
can't clean them up.
You pay a lot of money, don't you, in property taxes for shoreline property?
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about
property.
Taxes. Yeah, but you know, we knew that going in. We're not blind at all that. We know we're paying high taxes.
But you weren't responsible for the fish kill. Why are you responsible for cleaning up the mess? Isn't it at some level a health hazard to have thousands of rotting dead fish on the shore of a reservoir like that?
Actually, we've talked with the health department, the county health department. They've indicated there's not a significant health issue. I guess, I certainly understand the nuisance issue. I mean, clearly that's there. But as I said in my early comments, I think we need to take a step back a bit and really look at this fish kill was symptomatic. It was unpleasant. It's certainly a nuisance issue, but it's symptomatic of that impaired watershed. And those kinds of things need to be looked at. The information that we've got from a fisheries biologist, important. The information that Dave has, incredibly important. Information that other divisions of DNR has, important. Information that the county has as it relates to us administering state programs and putting practices on the land, that's important. What needs to happen is the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Ag, Wisconsin Valley Improvement Company, who all have a dog in the fight, we need to sit down and talk about it. And we need to do it at a senior management level.
Has that been scheduled?
It's being scheduled. And trying to get secretaries of state departments to meet. They're certainly willing to, but they've got busy schedules. I mean, county board chair was talking to the secretary of the DNR yesterday morning.
You would think this would be a priority.
Well, and I think it is a priority, but let's look at reality. And I'm a conservationist. I believe in a good environment. But let's look at that economic issue. Let's look at we're in the middle of an economic downturn. Let's look at what we hear from Madison, and that, you know, people are going to be furloughed. You know, as I look at county government, conservation's been running about 0.4 to 0.6% of the overall county budget for the last several years. It's gone up a little bit, but we're in a difficult time. The county board is currently looking at ways to prioritize our expenditures for this next budget. This is not a good time to have a problem like this.
Oh, you and do have it, a problem and, though, and it would seem like it should be a priority.
And I think it's as much a priority as it can be. I think it's a matter of the agencies involved making it a priority. And I think by hearing the willingness, and I've talked with Sam Morgan, they want to sit down, they want to talk. I know Department of Natural Resources want to sit down and talk, and Department of Ag wants to sit down and talk. And I think we'll get that accomplished.
We're talking to Ed Hammer, Marathon County Planning Director, Dave Kuhn of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, Tim Garrigan of a local citizens organization around the Big Old Plain, Tom Moronic of the Department of Natural Resources, about the big fish kill and the recurring water quality problems in the Big Old Plain Reservoir near Mosinee. The only people missing are you. If you'd like to give us a call, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this.
Contributors to Wisconsin Public Radio include attorney Paul A. Sturgill, serving the legal needs of the elderly and their families throughout Wisconsin and Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Toll-free information is at 888-613-0600.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. You're listening to Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. The subject today, the massive fish kill in the Big Old Plain Reservoir, the continuing water quality problems. And we've got Tom Moran of the DNR. Tom, to what extent is this a problem with the amount of water in the reservoir, and to what extent is it a water quality problem caused by things like agricultural runoff?
Well, I think let's start with the agricultural runoff. I think we all, you know, we're pretty sure that most of the problem contributed is coming from the phosphorus loading, coming from the agricultural runoff. And you know what I mean? There may be some other sources, but we think that is the main source, which is why I should mention that the department is going to be initiating a 2-year water quality monitoring study on the Big Old Plain in October of 2009, and they're going to be looking at the whole phosphorus issue, and you know how it's entering the reservoir, where it's entering the reservoir, you know, what are the big sources of it.
Tim, that's something you've been asking for, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It's great. Do another study. Do a study to see how many studies you've done. I've got a study here that shows that there's high phosphorus. There's $65,000 that I think should go towards an aerator. I know.
Well,
I think that's
a totally different issue. I mean, it's a redo of a study. Tim's right; it's another study, but it actually is they are going to do some modeling. They are going to try and pinpoint some areas, you know, where improvements, you know, would actually make a difference in the reservoir. I mean, I think it's going to be an important study. And we have to remember, you know, when you're talking about an agency like DNR, our funding for the aeration system comes from a totally different source than mm-hmm. funding for this study. You know, so it's not like we can take that money and just place it into an aeration system.
Who runs the aeration system? Is it you folks at the DNR?
Well, actually, that's one thing that I would like to mention. Like Ed was saying, he was talking about the county budget, and that's one thing that kind of cropped up last summer. The county parks was a great partner in running the aeration system for probably almost 30 years.
Well, Ed, is it your aeration system?
We purchased the system, and there was a plan in place for a number of years where the parks actually did the maintenance and ran the system for. The DNR and for WDIC, we're all kind of partners in it.
So where does it stand right now?
And where it stands right now is when the county could no longer fit it into their budget, the department was able to come up with some funds to take it over last year. So we've been servicing the system, and we did all the maintenance and operation of it this past winter.
Is it adequate for the job?
Is it adequate for this job? I think, I'd like to hear Dave talk about that because he has the longest history on this. I think it was never designed for what we're asking.
Dave, is the aerator adequate for the job?
Well, going back to the study that we're talking about, I know it's another study, and there have been many studies done on the Eau Plaine. I think this is a defining study. I think it's very important for the DNR to do this for the simple reason that the nature of the runoff that we're seeing today is somewhat different than what we saw back in 1981 when this aeration system was designed. And the question that now is this the aeration system that we need in the reservoir? Is it going to do, what's intended to do order to mitigate the DO?
What is your opinion?
My opinion is that I think we need the data to find out how much has changed since 1980 over the years to see if this aeration system is still adequate.
And Tom, that's where the study comes in right now?
Yes, I believe that's exactly where the study comes in.
Sorry to rush you along, but we have a news break coming up here in just 30 seconds. So hang on. We'll be back right after the news break with Tom Moronic of the DNR, Tim Garrigan of the local citizens organization around the Big Eau Plaine, Ed Hammer of Marathon County, and Dave Kuhn of Wisconsin Valley Improvement. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our phone number is 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742.
Radio include the Bolt Company, proud to support the Badger State Summer Games, June 25th through June 28th in the Fox Cities. Additional information is on the web at badgerstategames.org.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51, Regional Talk Radio for North Central Wisconsin, talking about the persistent and serious water quality issues facing a major aquifer in central Wisconsin, the Big Eau Plaine Reservoir. Massive fish kill, thousands of fish washing up on the shore, and as Ed Hammer of the Marathon County Planning Department has been telling us, that's just symptomatic of a whole range of problems facing that reservoir. Along with Ed, we have Tim Garrigan, who is the head of a local citizens organization, Tom Moronic, a fisheries biologist with the Department of Natural Resources, and Dave Kuhn, environmental expert with Wisconsin Valley Improvement. If you've got opinions about the situation at the Big Eau Plaine, maybe you fish on that reservoir, maybe you've thought about owning a home there and you've got second thoughts, give us a call, 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's toll-free, 780-9742. Ed Hammer, as you were saying during the break, the fish kill is just symptomatic of a whole host of problems.
Absolutely. It is symptomatic. And it's serious, and I certainly don't want to downplay it. But as we were talking at the break, we need to really look at the entire watershed above, and we also need to have some understanding of the flow of the Wisconsin River in its entirety, of which the Eau Plaine helps feed, and that's what part of Wisconsin Valley Improvement's job is, to maintain that flow. If that flow is restricted, and I should let Dave talk about this, but I'm going to, that, you know, and that restriction impacts the flow of the Wisconsin River, that will impact every paper mill, every municipal wastewater treatment plant, every facility along the Wisconsin River that has a pollutant issue. Further on, it goes down and ends up feeding into the Mississippi, and we all know about the zone of hypoxia down there. And I think that's why we need to really look at this. I think it has a potential for solution, but it's not going to be a Band-Aid solution. You know, we look at, replacing the aerator. That's a short-term solution. That doesn't address the overall problem. And I've heard all kinds of things from all kinds of people, ranging from let's stop farming to let's replace the aerator, let's dam up everything. And I think that's short term. We need to be long term. That's why the county wants to convene this very significant meeting that will probably go into other meetings.
You're right. It is short term. But what can we throw money at as a president of BEPCO? And I have farmers that are in our – can we throw money at a rain-making machine? No. Can we throw money at stocking fish? We could, but we're not going to. The only thing we can throw money at right now to help the fish, and my kids, the first muskie they ever saw was a dead muskie. You're right, it's just the fish, Ed. It's just fish. If it was if another animal, maybe
you've got pictures of dead muskie and, really high-quality game fish that have just washed up on the shore this past spring.
Yeah, that take years and years to get as big as they are. But the only thing that we can throw money at, and if I can write a check and fix one problem, granted, and if I was a farmer, what I'm hearing from you also is maybe we should check the water quality in the rivers. What are the paper mills putting out? I mean, if I'm a farmer and you're telling me I'm putting out toxic water, and right down the street the paper mill's doing the same thing, boy, it's going to be hard to go to them and ask them to change.
Tom Maronic, how big of a problem is the manure runoff from the agricultural land?
Well, I mean, we really think the manure, the concentrated liquid manure runoff is a huge part of the problem. I mean, I don't see how anybody can deny that that's a part of the problem. And I realize that, I know, from talking with some of the ag folks in Marathon County, I mean, I know they're working hard on those issues. I really do. And I know there's a lot of things that just cannot be solved overnight. But, reality is that it is a problem.
Well, Ed, you run a campground on the Big Plain.
The county has a campground.
Has a campground. You got a beach there. Now, my son and I went camping on that beach, and we went swimming there.
Mm-hmm.
Was the water safe? I mean, I'm asking, the county runs a campground. There's manure runoff. There's water quality issues.
I would suggest that I know that Bill Duncanson of the Parks Department periodically does water tests of that. So I know he has some concerns about algae growth. I guess I want to get back a bit to the ag issue. DNR is absolutely right. We've spent a lot of time and money. But I think it's really important that we recognize that the county provides programs from the state. We are basically an arm of the state. So, yes, we've spent probably $3 million between 93 and 97 on the Big Eau Plaine watershed. The property owners, landowners, farm producers probably spent an equal amount to install practices. I think the issue, and I won't get into the issue of the difference between solid manure and liquid manure, but there is a difference. And, you know, we need to look at, okay, how's that come in? Does it come in soluble? Is that more destructive? I don't know that. And I think that's why when we talk about getting together with the, we need the technical people from the agencies, both DNR, DATCAP. We need WVIC, their technical people, and their management people. And, you know, I've got technical staff, and they've been working with Dave and with DNR for probably
and,
5 years.
And
on
you
this.
Will be getting together.
We will be getting together.
261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Let's go to the phones. Rich and Edgar, you're on Route 51.
Speaking of the long term, I have a question about the lifespan of that dam. You know, it's been there 60, 70 years, you know, considering the cost of building dams, repairing dams, and, you know, other places they've taken them out when they're no longer, you know, used. What's the lifespan of that dam? And if they ever take it out, will they restore that flowage to a pre-dam condition, or what will happen 20, 30 years from now in that regard?
Dave Kuhn?
Well, the dam is inspected regularly by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and the Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin also has inspections that are involved in that. And speaking to the security and safety of the dam, we began a 3-4 year project last year in increasing the stability of the dam, and going to be raising the height of the dam, and going to be in building a overflow spillway on the dam. To ensure the security and safety of it, and also it'll prolong the life of the dam. There's no intention, you know, of removing the dam.
Rich, you sound like a river advocate. Are you the kind of person who'd like to see all of the dams go away if that's possible?
No, that one provides, you know, besides the benefits, you know, to the businesses and stuff, recreational value. I can't foresee the future no more than anybody else.
Right.
But, you know, the paper mill industry is changing, and, you know, the need for the dam may someday change, and nothing lasts forever that we build. But, you know, I'm just curious what the predicted lifespan of that would be and what the scenario would be at that, you know, at that time.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be there for a while. So,
yeah, yeah.
All right, Rich, thanks so much for the phone call. And Dave, while we're talking about the dams, there are a lot of dams that you monitor all up and down the watershed. Is it possible for you to hold back some of the water in the big old plain, and how would that affect everything else?
No, in our federal license, one of the articles requires and stipulates precisely how we operate all the dams. And they're operated as a system. They aren't operated independently from one another. And all these issues that have been raised today regarding water quality, fish kills, low water level, that kind of thing, these are the same issues that we raised when we went through our new application for a federal license that was renewed in 1996. And at that point in time, the issues that were raised by BEPCO then, which are similar to what they are today, were addressed and evaluated by the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission in the issuance of our new license. The agencies had their recommendations, the Big O' Plain Concerned Citizens had their recommendations, and we had our own. And it's the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's responsibility then to balance the use of those resources.
And Tim, you've written a letter your organization has to that very organization, correct?
Well, yes. We thought in 2011 we get the chance to look into it again. So we thought we would start early. Yes.
But, you know, the water level on the Big Old Plain, just to the casual observer, and that's what I am, it's kind of shocking. You see piers that go out, and then they stop, and there's a 10-foot drop, and then you go another 100 feet before there's water. It's like piers to nowhere. We've talked about the bridge to nowhere up in Alaska. How serious and long-term is this low water situation going to continue on the Big Old Plain? Is it all due to drought, and is there really no answer to it?
Well, the ongoing drought, we've had 6 years, consecutive years of drought. That's unprecedented in the history of our operation. It's the longest continuous drought period in over 100 years in this particular area. And it's because of the drought that we've experienced the low water levels in all the man-made reservoirs, for that matter, and that's what's driven it down. All the other four man-made reservoirs came down the same way and the same volume that the Eau Plaine did. Two of them actually had less volume of water in it last winter than the Eau Plaine, and came through the winter in fine shape.
So you've got a problem throughout the entire system with low water.
Well, the drought has negatively impacted the water levels, for sure. And it isn't just isolated in the Eau Plaine. It goes all the way up to Rainbow near Lake Tomahawk. Rainbow Reservoir today is down 8 feet from full yet.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it'd be full by now. Willow Reservoir is down 7.5 feet. Fortunately, with the rains we've had, Rice Reservoir is getting close to being full. It's down a little over a foot. The Spirit Reservoir is full, and the Eau Plaine Reservoir right now is just a little bit over 2 feet from full.
But we need a lot more rain than we've had.
Yeah. When we're talking about over the last 6 years of having a 26, 27-inch deficit in rainfall, that's almost the equivalent of a year. And it's going to take time to make that up, and it has to be made up. When we do that, we'll get back to a normal operation. And because of the drought conditions we've experienced is why you see these drastic changes. You know, when you can see docks that are out of the water, a lot of beach exposed, that's uncharacteristic. Not that we don't have drawdowns in the summertime. In a normal year, we do. But in a normal year on the Eau Plaine Reservoir, for example, the summer drawdown might amount to 3 or 4 feet from full. We get a recharge in the fall when transpiration, evaporation decreases. We can refill the reservoir and get ready for the winter drawdown. We haven't had that opportunity for 6 years now. And Tim was right. The reservoir has been down for the last 5 years between 8 and 16 feet this last winter when we entered the winter period. And we cut back last year on the Eau Plaine the 1st of November to 1-inch gate, which is our minimum flow, and we have to maintain a minimum flow in order to protect the downstream resources as well. And there was no drawdown on the winter on the reservoir after the 1st of November last year. It remained steady. And we did that. We could have drawn down more, but we didn't. And we didn't because we wanted to help protect the fishery as much as possible because we knew we were going to have problems going into the wintertime. Because in the Eau Plaine Reservoir, you get this huge demand, especially in the lower part of the reservoir, because of all the organic matters accumulated down there, exerts a demand on the amount of dissolved oxygen. And this year it took it out very quickly. And we have that every year, but this year it was compounded with a low water level.
We're talking about the Big Eau Plaine Reservoir. We've got Dave Kuhn of Wisconsin Valley Improvement, Ed Hammer of the Marathon County Planning Department, Tim Garrigan, a leader of a local citizens group, and Tom Ronick of the Department of Natural Resources. We're going to take more of your phone calls right after this break. Hang on, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
And today on Route 50, we are not dumbing down the big issues in terms of a big environmental problem on the Big Eau Plaine Reservoir. We're taking your phone calls at 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Let's go back to the phones. We have Terry in Big Eau Plaine. Terry, you're on Route 51.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for putting this program on. I guess hindsight's 2020, and it's also water over the dam, what we're talking about right now.
So to speak.
But both statements seem to apply here. But all these concerns can seemingly be reduced to a lack of planning by governmental and other participating agencies at the time the reservoir was built and the time that the aerator system was first devised. But we can study this to infinity and come up with all kinds of recommendations, and I'm sure that those will happen. But I think many of us who live around here, work around here, play around here, want to know where do we go from here right at the moment. It seems to me that we need a long-range plan, but we also need a short-range plan for the year ahead and the year beyond that until the studies are completed. Dave Kuhn's comment is well made and well taken that we've had a drought for the last 7 years. I guess we should anticipate another one for this coming summer. So how do we put a Band-Aid on the Eau Plaine until we can get a long-range solution to the problem.
Well, Ed Hammer, you said earlier that a Band-Aid was the aeration system, and Dave, you wanted to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. Tim brought up the idea that, you know, what can the Big O'Plain Citizens Organization do, and I know that they're interested in helping on this, and I think that's appreciated. And this gentleman brings up short-term plan and long-term plan. The short-term plan, I agree with Tim, that we need to do some repairs on the aeration system. And what we know right now is I put a cost estimate together this week in helping the DNR, because I've been working with them on this, on what it would take to repair the aeration system to get it back to almost optimum operating conditions for this coming winter. Because it's got to be in place this winter. There's no doubt about it. We can't go through another winter because I don't know what the summer's going to give us for precipitation. But let's anticipate that it's going to be needed again. And I think the DNR is going to be contacting, if they haven't already, Tim Garrigan's group, and working with them to see what kind of funding can be secured to do these improvements to the aeration system. Regarding the long, and that's the short-term plan. To get something going right now. Long-term plan, I agree with Ed. We're excited about this committee that they've formed.
Okay.
And I think that's going to go a long ways in the future in helping resolve this.
How much money are we talking about for the aeration system?
To repair it?
Yeah.
To get back up in the system, about $20,000.
That sounds like it should be doable.
Well, I think so. I don't want to go out and replace everything right now, because I think the DNR two-year study is going to be critical in defining what the nature of the beast is we're dealing with, and is this the right aeration system to be in place at that point in time for the short term. But we definitely got to go long term after that.
Terry, thanks so much for the phone call. I want to get to another caller here who has been very patient. In fact, he's called us back three times. Kurt in Green Valley, you're on Route 51. Hello, Kurt.
Hello. A couple of points I want to bring up. First, this is not something that can be simply fixed with a knee-jerk Band-Aid of some type. Like the folks have alluded to, the combination of drought, low flows in the Big O'Plain, agricultural runoff, and the management restrictions that are imposed on WVIC really combine to sort of cause a perfect storm of bad conditions for aquatic resource. And you can put in an aerator if you like, or you can try and maintain that thing, but the dissolved oxygen is not going to migrate upstream. So I think that is a pretty weak Band-Aid, and the bigger issues that need to be dealt with are all those combinations, the ag runoff, and the management of the reservoir. And the DNR, I think a lot of people have a knee-jerk reaction of, well, blame the DNR for this. But in reality, they don't have a lot of authority over this, because FERC, the feds, as was mentioned earlier, managed or licensed the actual dam, and DATCAP, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, has most of the regulatory authority over the agricultural folks in the watershed. And since the watershed is about 70-80% ag, that's one of the major phosphorus and pollutant runoff problems. So I just wanted to bring that up.
And Tom Moronic, is that true? The DNR kind of has its hands tied in the issue of manure runoff and agricultural runoff?
Well, I think it's true in the respect, like Dave was saying previously, and the caller as well, saying that we don't have a lot of say in how the reservoir is managed as far as water levels go. And we do have our say in relicensing. You know, we do comment, and we did comment in the relicensing phase of this dam, and wanted to see greater water levels in the wintertime in particular. You know, as Dave said, FERC makes the final decision. We did not get, everything we asked for. So, we don't have a lot of control over that. And as far as manure runoff, it's the same situation. We have rule. DNR has some rules, non-point source, but really, I think it's a good point the caller's getting at, and I think what Ed is trying to put in place with upper level management with DNR is probably going to be one of the perfect avenues to take, because us folks on the local level, biologists like myself, we can't really make the changes that are going to be required on the landscape. Really, that's going to take legislature issue. It's a legislative issue.
It involves regulatory reform,
yes,
essentially.
And that's not something that's exactly right, and that's not something that, a biologist like myself can do. I mean, I can, take care of the day-to-day issues and, deal with fish kills and, you know, deal with day-to-day management type things, but, you know, those types of issues are definitely an upper management, that's definitely an upper management issue.
Kurt, I want to thank you for your phone call, and Tom Moronic, thank you so much for spending the entire hour with us. Tom Moronic, a fish biologist of the Department of Natural Resources, and we are down to just our last couple of minutes. Tim Garrigan, what is your hope for the future? What do you want to see happen between now and next year at this time?
Well, like the last caller said, he mentioned everything that's going wrong, but nobody seems to have any answers, and I don't know if we ever will get any answers. But one thing I'd like to ask Dave real quick is, what does he foresee for this year? This has got to be one of the toughest years that you've come across in a long time. If every flowage, like you just mentioned, is low, I mean, are you going to be able to do anything different this year? Letting each flowage out a little lower, or what? Because it's going to have
Dave,
to be tough.
Dave, it's a complicated question. You've only got a minute.
I can answer that easily. We've already reduced our flow goals this year, and we've reduced those based upon the amount of storage that we have in the reservoirs. Hydropower production for the last 6 years has been way below normal every year. But that's a start, and if we could predict how much rain, or somebody could tell us how much rain we're going to have for the next 4 or 5 months, that would be great, but we can't. So we go with a long-term average. But because we don't have the volume in the reservoirs this year, especially with Rainbow and Willow being down, our flow goals at Wisconsin Rapids and Merrill have been reduced over what they would be normally.
Okay. Ed Hammer, in just 10 seconds, when is this meeting taking place?
I don't know, but two things. It's not a matter of new studies. It's a matter of pulling all the data that we have together and working together. Second thing, and our fish biologist was right, it really goes beyond the Secretary of Natural Resources. It ends up being in the legislature.
Tim Garrigan, the president of the Big Old Plain Citizens Organization. You can reach his organization through his website, bigoplain.org. Also, Dave Kuhn, director of environmental concerns for Wisconsin Valley Improvement. Ed Hammer, planning director for Marathon County. Tom Moronic, biologist for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Kelson Quisler, John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday, as we head into the Memorial Day weekend, it's our annual gardening show with the always informative and entertaining David Ryle of the Jung Seed Company in Stevens Point. Thanks again for riding with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.